The question this morning is, what should a Christian's relationship to God's Word be? How do we relate to this Bible that we have? How do we relate to God's revelation to us? And we read verses 22 to 25, but the question is answered from verses 19 through 25, and we talked about verses 19 through 21 last week. But this passage tells us two things that are essential in relating to God's Word. Number one, if you're a Christian, you must properly receive it. And number two, then you must properly do the Word of God. Down through the ages of Christian preaching, there have been many ways that has been expressed. We must listen to it and live it. We must accept it and apply it. Our creed must lead to our conduct, our beliefs, to our behavior. There's lots of ways to say these truths. But no matter how you say them, you must understand what James is saying here is essential. It's critical. It's vital. So the last time we met, we were looking at verses 19 through 21, which speaks of proper reception. And this morning we're going to concentrate on verses 20 through to 25, which speaks of not just hearing, but doing. And so I've broken down the text into five important truths about hearing and doing God's Word. So the first thing I want you to see this morning is that proper hearing is the essential first step to proper doing. Proper hearing is the essential first step to proper doing. You see, James's argument in verses 22 to 25 is that proper hearing or receiving of God's Word results in the proper doing of it. If you haven't heard it properly, then you're not doing it. If you're not doing it properly, you haven't really heard it properly. One who does not do the Word after hearing it is deceived if they think they are, or if they think they've really heard it. They have not properly received it at all, James is saying. So understand, the receiving of God's Word is essential, but the doing must follow. They're an inseparable pair of activities: receiving, listening to God's Word, and then doing God's Word. They're inextricably linked together. And so James starts verse number 22 with a connective word: but be doers of the Word. That's how it's translated in most of the translations. But the idea of using that word is to connect the hearing with the doing. Verse 22 is not minimizing the hearing. It's simply pointing out that something's wrong with the hearing if that's all that happens. So James says in verse number 22, not hearers, be not hearers only. Or as the NIV says, don't merely listen. The hearing isn't eliminated, it's connected to the doing. James will soon write in this letter that reads like a sermon that faith without works is a dead faith. Faith without works is a false faith. And what he's saying here is similar. One who hears and does not do has failed to hear properly. So it's important as we speak of the doing that we be reminded of the receiving, which was spoken of in verses 19 through 21. James says in those verses, if you're a Christian, when you come to the Word of God, you must be quick to hear, recognizing the seriousness of it. You must be slow to speak, recognizing that when it comes to truth, God's opinion is the only opinion that matters, because it's not really his opinion, it's reality. We must be slow to anger, because being angry at the truth is detrimental to our spiritual health. We must put away sinful distractions. We must be humble, teachable receivers. And we must understand this is not optional, for the Word saves us. It continues after we come to Christ to deliver us from sin's power and someday from the very presence of sin. So the first truth here is proper hearing is essential, the essential first step to proper doing. Say, I want to do the Word of God. You have to hear it first. It's essential to really hear what it says. And then number two, proper hearing should lead to proper doing. Something's wrong if it doesn't. Proper hearing should lead to proper doing. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James speaks of one who does what the word says after they've heard what it says. We are to humbly listen and receive it, and then make it part of our lives. It says in verse 22, but be doers of the word. The verb translated be, as in be doers, has the idea of become. It would not be incorrect to read verse 22, but become doers of the word. Now, if you use an NIV, the NIV really paraphrases verse 22, and it says, do what it says. But the idea here is to become a doer. Become a doer. Grow in your doing. The word transforms us over time. The New American Standard Version gets the sense of this by translating it, prove yourself doers. That's what James' point is. You prove that you've listened properly in humility when you take action. Our profession of faith requires putting into action what we have seen. Thus, we speak of practicing what we preach. That's how faith works. Say, how's this Christian life work, this faith work? We embrace what we've received from the Word of God. We embrace it in such a way that to some degree it becomes a part of our lives. We change. It shows up in how we live. It shows up in how we do. That's how faith works. Proper hearing is followed by proper doing. The Word of God kind of gets attached to us. So when the Scripture speaks to us of a God who loves us, the Scripture speaks of this God we can trust because his love is steadfast and faithfulness to his promises are perfectly faithful. We hear that, we trust him. As the Scriptures reveal this God who saves through the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for our sins, his resurrection, when we really hear that, we embrace it. We believe it. As we hear the Word of God speak to us about being honest people, we seek to put away lying. When the Scriptures tell us of a God who's worthy to be praised and thanked, this God is worthy of our worship and praise and thanksgiving. When we really hear that, we praise and thank him. We humbly listen and receive. And then what follows is the doing of God's word. Now, we do none of these things perfectly. All believers have a long, long way to go. And we do these things by the grace of God, in his strength. But James is making the point here that a believer's life is changed. And of course, we know that the Scriptures teach that it will be changing and someday perfectly changed in resurrection. So the first truth here is that the hearing is the essential first step to the doing, and that the hearing, if it's true hearing, should lead to proper doing. Number three, when proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, one is blinded to the reality of his or her spiritual life. This is kind of an often overlooked thing in verse number 22, but it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." When your proper hearing does not lead to your proper doing, then you really haven't properly heard and you're really not properly doing, and there's something wrong there, and you deceive yourselves. Those who just hear, I read the Word of God all the time, or I go to church all the time, but they only hear, their lives are never transformed, but they think everything's okay, are deceiving themselves. If the truth fails to be connected to our lives, we're fooling ourselves. Truth is embraced in the reality of living our lives. So when James says, be doers, not hearers, only deceiving yourself, just hearing it, never changing. The word deceiving here has the idea of a deception based on faulty reasoning, false arguments. In other words, there are those who reason away their sinfulness or reason away their discipleness, the discipleship. I don't follow Christ in this particular area, but here's why. I don't live my Christian life this way, but there's this valid reason why I don't. That's a deception. See, there are no valid reasons. There are no valid reasons. There's no justification. So please understand, James is saying, in essence, you're not really hearing properly if you're not then applying what you hear. Thus, those who are deceived in this relationship of hearing and doing are blind to the reality of their heart, to the reality of their spiritual condition. It's possible to deceive oneself into thinking, I'm a believer, when a life speaks differently. Just let me ask you to turn back just a few books to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. And I want you to see a verse in Titus chapter 1. A lot of people say, you know, James and Paul seem to be on two different wavelengths, but that's not true. Titus 1, Paul is on the very same wavelength. Verse number 15, Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, James 1:15, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. Verse 16, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. See, it's possible to deceive yourself. I read my Bible, I go to church, everything's fine. But I'm just a hearer. It's possible into deceiving yourself into thinking you're spiritual, but you're not. Thinking you're a believer, but you're not. Not facing reality. When proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, one is blinded to the reality of his or her spiritual life. Be doers, not hearers, deceiving yourselves. You're deceiving yourselves if you're just a hearer. I remember years ago, and I can't tell you how long ago, but I remember hearing about this magician, David Copperfield, who did this magic trick and made the Statue of Liberty disappear. And since then, I've watched the replays, videos and stuff. But you're really deceived if you think he made it disappear. You understand? He's deceived you if you really think he did something and that Statue of Liberty is not there anymore. It's gone. And then he made it reappear. That's a pretty good trick. But that's not reality. Those who look into the Word of God and don't see in the Word of God, I need Christ. They look into the Word of God and they don't see as they look at the Word of God that they need grace. They need new mercy every day. They need to be growing spiritually. They need church. They're blind to the reality of their spiritual condition if they walk away and kind of forget what they've seen. That's what James is saying here. Serious stuff. Proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, or when proper hearing does not lead to proper doing, one is blinded to the reality of his or her spiritual life. And the fourth thing James says, the idea of truly hearing without subsequent doing is foolish. Verses 23 and 24, James gives an analogy. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. What's James saying there? Well, he's saying that what he's saying about being a hearer and not a doer is like this person who looks in the mirror, looks at his face in the mirror. Actually, the word James uses here, he looks intently. That's the idea of the word. The ESV translates it that way. It means to scrutinize, to give careful attention to. So please understand what James is talking about is someone looking in the mirror to check himself out. Not to look in the mirror and say how beautiful I am, but look in the mirror and see the what remedial action is necessary to take, so to speak. I'm looking in the mirror to make sure everything's in place. Now, the mirrors of their day were not like ours. They were made of polished bronze or copper. They produced a poor reflection, so one would really have to look carefully. But James's point is the person is looking to inspect his or her appearance and make the improvement. That's the point. What needs to be corrected? James uses the example of looks at their face, but of course, in our day and age, we look at other things as well. We look in the mirror and say, is my hair out of place? Is there dirt on my face? I read this week as I was studying this, an illustration. I won't repeat it all, but it's kind of a weird one. This pastor apparently had floppy hair all over the place, so his wife used to make him, like, when he went to bed at night or something, put, like, pins in it and stuff, you know. And one morning, he forgot to look in the mirror properly and went out and, you know, ministered and counseled people and spoke to a large group, and he had, like, a barrette in his hair. So you look in the mirror to make the improvement. My buttons buttoned correctly. There's many a day my wife and I will go out of the house and she will look at me and lovingly say to me, don't you ever look in the mirror before you go out? The truth is I don't many times. But James is saying, here's someone who does. And then he goes away and doesn't change what he looked in the mirror to see was wrong. He just forgets, walks away, fails to take the action that the mirror showed was needed. And James says, this is like the person who hears without doing. Looks in the Bible and sees a problem, something that needs remedying, sees something that needs to be embraced, sees something that needs to be grabbed onto, but just walks away. Hears and doesn't do. The Word of God acts in some ways like a spiritual mirror. It shows us who God is. And it shows us, of course, who we are when we look. It shows us how we're to respond to God, how God has provided for us through Jesus Christ. It shows us the will of God. It shows us God's holiness and our sinfulness, God's judgment, God's grace through Christ. It shows us what it means to be a disciple. It shows us our need to be humble and dependent upon God, and so much more. And James is saying we embrace those things. We must. Now, please understand, a lot of times people read this and read the illustration and don't get this. James is purposely using a ridiculous situation. Would you actually say, oh, before I go out, I need to look in the mirror? And then you look in the mirror and you say, oh, it's a good thing I looked. There's dirt on my face. And then you don't do anything about it. See, James is saying that doesn't happen. That would be foolish. Oh, yeah, I see there's a spot on my face. I guess I'll leave it. When you actually look to see if there was a spot so you could take it off. That's what James is saying. To truly hear and not respond doesn't make sense. It's a self-deception. It would be like if I was cooking a meal, which I don't. It would be like if I was, and I thought I remembered everything, and then just before I'm about to put it in the oven or whatever, I can't remember what amount of sugar I'm supposed to put in. Is it half a cup or something? So what do? I get the cookbook out. I get the recipe out. Now suppose I get the recipe out and say, oh, okay, it's a cup of sugar. And so therefore, I'm going to put in 2 tablespoons of oregano. No, I look and see it's a cup of sugar. You put in a cup of sugar. That's what James is saying here. This is a foolish thing. To be a hearer only is a deception. What are you doing? How can you receive it and then not do it? So the idea of truly hearing without subsequent doing is foolish. And the last thing James says, it's the hearer and doer who is truly liberated. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he or she, by implication, will be blessed in his doing. That's the proper response. That's the way it should be. The believer looks into, James says, which corresponds to properly receiving or hearing the perfect law. He calls it the law of liberty, and perseveres, continues to look into it to change. Doesn't walk away and forget. This person is the doer who acts, not just the hearer only who forgets. James says he will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed in his doing. The one who hears and doesn't do is deceived. The one who hears and does is the one who's blessed in his doing. There's some important things to understand in verse 25. James speaks into looking into the perfect law. The law of liberty, the NIV says, the law that gives freedom. James is referring to something that has the power to liberate. This must refer in some way to the gospel of Christ and the new covenant. Can't simply be referring to the moral laws of God, because those laws condemn, because we have no power to do them. So understand, when we're looking here, we're looking into the law, the perfect law, the law of liberty, new covenant, if you will, the law fulfilled in the new covenant. The new covenant means that we have been given a new heart. The new covenant means we have the indwelling presence of God's Spirit. And of course, the New Testament says the Spirit of the Lord is what gives us liberty in Christ. So we look at God's Word, and now God's Word doesn't condemn us. It serves as a guide to His will to be lived out in His power and by His grace. James says he will be blessed in his doing. Those who have this liberty, this ability now to look into the law of liberty, and by the Spirit of God working in our new hearts, we embrace it, follow Christ. Please understand, James is not suggesting we earn blessings, not suggesting we work for our salvation. Our blessings, if you're a Christian, your blessings come through Christ. They come as His Spirit now guides us and empowers us to know Him and follow Christ. James's point is, it's not enough for us to say, "Oh, I know the gospel." I don't know how many times in my Christian life as I've witnessed to unbelievers and said, "Jesus died on the cross for my sin," they're saying, "Oh, I know that." We must live in light of that truth. We must embrace that truth. It must become real to us. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see Him there who made an end of my sin. It liberates me. My sin's no longer condemning me. God has poured out His forgiveness and grace in Christ. It's important for us to guard here against thinking we can kind of self-reliantly and independently be doers. This word transforms us by grace. Receiving grace leads to grace that's dynamic in our lives. Remember that at the center of the book of James is chapter 4, verse number 6, where James says, "But He gives more grace." All blessings come to us through Christ and because of His work. Blessings are based on Christ's perfect life, not ours. Nonetheless, they come to us as the Spirit guides us to trust Christ and rest in Christ and follow Christ in obedience. But notice James says here, the doer who acts, he will be blessed in His doing. In other words, it's inherent in simply following Jesus. The following itself is the blessing. Just being a Christian and having the privilege of living a Christian life is a blessing. James is not prescribing here, if you do good according to the Word, God will give you stuff. It's not what he's saying. He's saying you're blessed in your doing. Just living the Christian life. Not looking for some material gain or physical gain. James is saying, following Jesus is the blessing. Think of it. You wake up every morning as a Christian, and you know that in Christ you have peace. You know that God's steadfast love is upon you no matter what. And you know you have hope and you have joy. Those are the substance of the blessedness that comes from God. So James gives us some pretty important truths here. The essential step is the receiving or hearing of the Word of God. It's the step to doing. And it should lead to doing. Something's wrong if it doesn't lead to doing. When hearing doesn't lead to doing, you're deceived, blinded to what your real condition is. Truly hearing without subsequent doing is ridiculous. Doesn't make sense. You don't go looking in the mirror to see what's wrong with your face, and when you see it, you walk away. When you see it, you wipe off the dirt. And it's that person, hearing and embracing, hearing and acting, hearing and doing, who's truly liberated. If you're a Christian, you must understand how blessed you are that Jesus Christ liberated you from the bondage of sin by his immeasurable, amazing, extravagant, wonderful grace. And that grace should drive us to continue to intently look into the Word of God, humbly seeking its precious truths, growing deeper in the faith, having a deeper understanding of Christ's redemptive work, receiving these precious truths, keeping embracing with all of our hearts the gospel message. If you're a Christian, we keep on seeking to follow Jesus Christ, keep on asking God's Spirit to show us more clearly as we look at the Word of God, areas we might be struggling to see. If you're a Christian, the idea here is to keep looking. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, keeps looking. But it would be wrong of me not to speak this morning to the fact that this passage suggests another category of person here. This passage says, hey, there's not only those who look and do, those who by grace have seen and properly receive and consequently embrace it in their lives. There's the hearer only. There's the deceived one. So the passage suggests this other category of person. If you're here this morning and you're this hearer only, but your life is basically a bunch of excuses concerning truly embracing God's word, my exhortation to you is don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Being a hearer only is like having a faith that doesn't work. Something's wrong with the hearing. If you have a faith that doesn't work, something's wrong with the faith. Don't be deceived. And of course, there's always a message in the Bible to the unbeliever. If you're here and you're not a believer, the Word of God says you're already under God's condemnation. You've not been liberated at all. You've not seen and looked and received. So if you're an unbeliever, you need to understand the Bible says Jesus came to rescue sinners like yourself. You need to understand God's love, and you need to understand that Jesus came to die on the cross for sin and rose again in victory. If you're an unbeliever, understand all who come to him by faith, all who come to him by faith receive forgiveness. He turns no one away who comes to him by faith. They receive forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with the God that they've offended with their sins, and they're given everlasting life. that they might glorify and enjoy God forever. So, unbeliever, turn to Christ. Trust Christ and Him alone. He'll save you by His grace. James, it's pretty straight, pretty direct. How should we relate to the word if you're a Christian? Man, take it seriously. Come to it humbly. Receive it. Hear it. We're so quick to say, well, yeah, but here's my view. No, this is it. This is the word of God. Your view makes no difference whatsoever. And that should lead to a life that's changed, to the living of it. And if it doesn't, we must recognize something's wrong. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks particularly, Lord, as your word unfolds and you speak of changing people's hearts. You speak of sending your spirit. As your word unfolds, you speak of Messiah coming. And we see it. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he comes and lives the perfect life we couldn't live. And he comes and dies on the cross in an atoning sacrificial death. We see, God, you so loved the world that you gave your son. And we see on the third day him rising from the dead, telling his disciples, preach this good news, that people can have their sins forgiven, people can come to the kingdom of God, people can love and enjoy and fellowship and worship God forever and ever. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the work you do in our hearts as Christians. But Lord, help us take heed to this passage. Help us take it seriously. Help us embrace the truth and not be angry when you speak the truth to us. And Lord, help us to be doers, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Lord, we need your grace to do this. We need your spirits moving in our hearts to do this. Help us to look properly and help us to act properly. Grow us, we pray. Help us live lives for your glory by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.